Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. He forgot to announce that his own son is getting married Saturday. Yeah. Amen. Come celebrate. Is it 4 o'clock? I've got to be here at 9 or 10 in the morning, so I don't know what time everybody else is supposed to be here. Hebrews chapter 9, if you have your Bible, thank you for being at church tonight. I say it almost every time I'm up here, but time is your most valuable possession. Thank you for taking time to come to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, this may seem a strange scripture to start with where we're going, but it'll all make sense by and by. Verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I want to preach in the next few moments by the help of the Holy Ghost, the world outside the walls. The world outside the walls. Why don't you lift up your hands and pray that the Lord will work on you tonight? Come on, I've spent all day in here praying, Lord, work on me. I'm going to pray right now, Lord, work on me as your word goes forth. God, let your word find good ground. Thank you for everybody that's gathered into your house, Lord. I thank you for your anointing that we've already felt. God, I pray that you would touch somebody in a mighty way. Lord, let there be life that comes out of this, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. Every man ever born will die. It is appointed unto men once to die. We have account of Enoch who walked with God and he was not. And then we know Elijah was taken into heaven by a fiery chariot. But there are two unnamed witnesses that come from heaven to earth in Revelation and then are killed while they're on the earth, then resurrect after 3 days. Very likely it's those two men. But for you today, I'm not trying to be morbid, but from the day you were born, you're on your way to death. It doesn't matter how well you eat. It doesn't matter how organic or clean your diet is. It doesn't matter how you work out. It doesn't matter how you preserve yourself. None of that matters. You are on a collision course with death. Amen. We're going to get somewhere, I promise. But we just need to understand that this is something that is appointed unto man. And so it doesn't matter how hard you try to preserve yourself. Eventually, that preservation will deteriorate. And it is no different in the body of Christ. Amen. Self-preservation, even within the church, is sure extinction. Amen. Now, what am I saying by that? I'm going to be real transparent if that's okay tonight. Is that okay? Amen. I pastored for a couple of years in Amity, and after coming back, I did a lot of looking at what I did while I was there, what I would have done different if I had it to do over again, and I've just contemplated a lot of those moments while I was there, and if I failed anywhere, which I feel in parts as if I did, The place that I failed is that we went in and we won souls. And then when we got a group of people, I focused so hard on preserving those people. Amen. Now, you, as the pastor, you are the shepherd of the flock and you have a responsibility to shepherd. Amen. To tend to the flock and to take care of the sheep. Amen. But I learned the hard way in large part that self-preservation is extinction. You cannot possibly keep a body healthy enough to where it never dies. End of story. Amen. And so God did this beautiful thing in the book of Genesis where he told Adam and Eve, the only living man and the only living woman at the time, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." If this human experiment is meant to go beyond Adam and Eve, they are going to have to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. And so God appointed right then, which they hadn't even fallen, but he was the lamb slain. So he knew that they were going to fall, and he knew that they would have an appointment with death. And so he told them, if you want this deal to keep going, you better start giving birth to new life. Amen. Oh, God, help me to preach this right now. Amen. After the deluge, the greatest catastrophe ever to hit this earth, the flood, there came out Noah and his wife, three sons and their wives, eight people in an existential crisis. And God spoke to Noah and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. It may have looked impossible to Noah as one of eight people on the earth looking at a completely obliterated earth. But God said, I'll tell you the solution to this deal is that you just start being fruitful and you multiply. God, help me right now. Amen. Amen. The only hope of life and progress is reproduction. And I'm not here to talk about natural, but spiritual reproduction to see birth in the church. Amen. The church is the bride of Christ, and as the bride of Christ, we have a responsibility to God, to the bridegroom, amen. And so as the bride of Christ and as the shepherd of the bride of Christ, we hear things preached like, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We hear preaching to the pew, those that have been born of the water, been born of the Spirit. They've been through the Acts 2:38 new birth experience, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we preach to them, okay, now that you're born, it's time for you to grow. We preach you need to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Word of God. You need to grow in holiness. Amen. You need to grow in separation. We preach health into the body. Man. But self-preservation is sure extinction. You cannot preach the body healthy enough in order for it to survive forever. The only hope of the body is that life is birthed over and over and over again. And so as much as I like to preach that the body would grow and that the body would be healthy, it's time for us to get it in our minds as the body that it's time for us to be fruitful and multiply. It is appointed unto man once to die. Be fruitful and multiply. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. We hear preaching and it's so good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not debasing any of this preaching. I believe it with all my heart. We hear that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We preach that we're in this world, but we are not of this world. But if we are not careful, we'll get something in our mind that it's us against the world. But that is not the case, amen. That is not the case of the church. Peter would write, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He didn't say abstain from going out into the world and trying to win souls because you might dirty your hands. He said, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the lust of your own flesh. And that's when you're here. That's when you're out there. That's when you're everywhere. Amen. And so I just want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. We hear preaching like Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe in prayer. Amen. I believe in praying every single day. I believe that every single person that is born of the water and of the spirit, you need a prayer life if you're going to make it all the way to heaven. I believe that. I believe in prayer. I believe 1 Timothy 2:8 when Paul said, I will therefore the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I believe in that. I believe that men need to pray. Men, you need to be the leader of prayer in your marriage. You need to be the leader of prayer in your household. Amen. You need to be the leader of prayer in the church. Amen. You need to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. I believe Matthew 6, when Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I believe in prayer. While we're here, I'm just going to go ahead and say I believe in fasting too. Amen. Because if you can't tell that your desire for food, no, you won't tell your desire for a lot of other things, no. Amen. It's a good discipline to fast because it teaches you to tell your fleshly desires, no. Well, amen. Amen. I still believe that we're begotten by the Word of God. You have to read the Bible. Amen. I still believe study to show yourself approved. Amen. You got to study the Word of God. I believe in these. I believe in come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I wrote a whole book on it. Amen. I believe in these things with all my heart. Amen. But I'm telling you, somewhere along the way, I feel like it's gotten in our mind that we're so separated from the people that are out there that we don't even approach them to try to win them. Amen. Amen. When Jesus said, thy kingdom come, he said, you need to pray like this. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He said, you need to be praying that the kingdom of God is coming. I need you to understand tonight that the local church is not the kingdom of God in an area. Well, glory. Here we go. Luke 17:21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. The church, the four walls and the beautiful edifice is not the kingdom of God in Hot Springs. The kingdom of God is the working of the Spirit in Hot Springs. It's the Holy Ghost that's inside of you when you repented of your sins and was baptized in the name of Jesus. That's the kingdom of God in an area. The local church is the base of operations for the kingdom of God. The local church is the facilitator of God's purpose in a local area. But this building is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. And so Jesus said, you need to pray the kingdom of God would come. And so I just wonder if there's sinners out there praying, God, thy kingdom come, are they waiting for us to get there? Amen. Well, glory. How does God answer the prayer of a sinner when he said, this is how you need to pray? How does he answer the prayer of a sinner that says, God, I want your kingdom to come into my life? What if they're just waiting on somebody to knock on their door? That's the kingdom of God. Amen. I'll tell you what Jesus did when he was on the earth.
Luke 19 and 10, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, while I was here, I was seeking and I was saving the stuff that was lost. Now, Paul told us in Corinthians, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, if the body of Jesus, while he was on the earth, went around seeking and saving that which was lost, what should the body of Christ be doing after his body ascended into heaven? And now you're the body. If they're praying, God, I want to touch you. I want to feel you. I want to encounter you. What if it's you that they're waiting on? Hallelujah. And so just like as the bride, we have a responsibility to God. As the body, we have a responsibility to the world. Amen. Now, I don't want to cross any theology because I've already preached to you what I believe. Amen. I believe in separation. I believe in holiness. I believe in the new birth experience. I believe in prayer. I believe in fasting. I believe in studying the Word. I believe every bit of it as much as you do. Amen. But it is not us against the world. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you get it out of your mind that it's you against the world. As the body of Christ, you have a responsibility to the world, not against the world. You have the responsibility to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. I'm closer to being done than you think. I've only been preaching for like 10 minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4, verse 35. Can y'all put that on the screen for me? Amen. Jesus says, say not ye. I'm going to say it in Arkansas English. Do not say, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. The first thing Jesus addresses is that humanity always tends to push the timeline on when harvest is supposed to come. Well, maybe in a few months we'll hit a season of revival. He said, don't say that. Do not say 4 months and then the harvest is coming. Amen. Don't do that. Everybody say, don't do that. Okay, that's the command from Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Don't look into the future like revival is some distant future thing that will come eventually. Tomorrow never comes. Amen. When you wake up tomorrow, it's today again. Yeah. Amen. Tomorrow never comes. So don't look into the future and say, well, maybe in 4 months, you know, somebody will pray through or we'll baptize somebody in Jesus' name. No, I was looking today in the restaurant. I was praying, God, who in this restaurant's hungry? Who in this restaurant is seeking after you? Who's been praying today? God, send me a voice. Hallelujah. And so directly from the words of Jesus, say not ye, do not say 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Amen. I'm no gardener or botanical genius. Amen. I planted some tomatoes a couple years ago, and they lasted 2 weeks. Okay. But my grandpa, boy, he could raise a garden. I'm telling you, he could raise a garden. The beauty of a garden, and especially, let's just use tomato plants, is that not all the fruit on a tomato ripens at the same time. You may see a bunch of blooms, And those things start to blossom and you see the fruit start to grow. Because tomatoes are fruit. Amen. You see it start to grow. And some people like green tomatoes. I love a fried green tomato. They're amazing. I love a totally ripe red tomato picked out of a garden, cut, put some salt on it. Oh, Sister Alicia is feeling the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Amen. The thing is, you have to check that garden every day. Because although all those buds are growing at the same time, you never know which one is going to ripen up and need to be harvested. And if you leave a ripe fruit on the vine too long, it becomes a rotten fruit. Amen. Or the birds get it. Or the worms get it. Or the other animals get it. Amen. And so it's just like, this is what Jesus is saying. Harvest is not some timetable that everything's supposed to be cut and dry at the same time, and then we're all going to run into the field and harvest all the fruit. No, it's like a garden. You need to be walking through that thing every day and tapping those. Is this tomato ready to go today? Is that tomato ready to go today? God, help us right now. Amen. And so he would send us out. He would have to go to work, and he would say, now, when y'all get up tomorrow morning, go out there and look in the garden. And if there's any ripe tomatoes, pick them before the birds get them. Amen. In the parable of the sower, the seed was the word of God, but the birds of the air came and stole the seed. It's like that today. God, Aaron Robertson, thank you so much for praying. God, don't let somebody else make it to somebody that's hungry before I do. Amen. God forbid there's a ripe fruit in hot springs and some false doctrine gets to them before the kingdom of God gets to them. Amen. But the biggest problem that the church faces in harvest is addressed in John chapter 4, verse 35. And it is not, I do not believe for a second, it is that we look into the future for harvest. It's that Jesus tells us you're looking at the wrong place. It's not just a matter of time. It's what you're looking at. Amen. And if I can just preach it the way I feel it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Amen. But I just feel like we get so focused looking on the inside. Amen. We're trying to help what's on the inside, trying to heal what's on the inside, trying to grow what's on the inside, that we never even look outside at the fruit and God help us, that's ripe and ready to be harvested. Amen. And so Jesus said, what you have to do is you have to change where you're looking if you're going to get the harvest. Hallelujah. And thus the title of the message, the world outside the walls. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost calling this church to quit looking around from side to side and front to back and trying to find a work to do inside the building. It's time to lift up your eyes. Look outside. Look at the world outside the walls. Amen. I would to God that we would pray when we came to pray. And I've heard people say, oh, I don't know what y'all pray about. I mean, I don't even have the words to say for an hour. If you called out every single person you know that don't have the Holy Ghost, you'd be here for probably 2 or 3 hours. Don't tell me you don't have anything to pray about. Amen. If your life is hunky-dory and you got money in the bank and you're healthy and everything's going good, praise the Lord. Come pray for somebody that's lost and dying and on their way to a red-hot hell. Amen. It's time to look. Look into the world outside the walls. Amen. There are hungry people outside of these four walls. I want to do this right now. If you're a first generation apostolic, will you please stand? Amen. First generation apostolic. Look at all these people standing across this building. Now, I'm going to tell you, for those of you that don't know, a first-generation apostolic is somebody whose parents weren't in an apostolic church. So they prayed through, they're the first generation in their family to pray through to the Holy Ghost in an apostolic church. Okay, that's beautiful. Can y'all stand up again? I'm sorry, I'm not done. Amen. Amen. This is what I want you to see. These people, representative of probably a third of the people here tonight, a solid 30%, 25 or 30%, the people that are here tonight are first-generation apostolics. That means they came from the world outside the walls into the church and got the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost bearing witness right now. Amen. I'm here to tell you, look around, church. Look around. There's hungry people outside these walls. There's still people that want the Holy Ghost outside these walls. There's still people that are looking for peace that passes understanding outside these walls. Now, this is what if you're a first generation apostolic and you're under the age of 40, I want you to remain standing. If you're over the age of 40, you can be seated. Amen. Okay. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 first generation apostolics under the age of 40 in this house tonight on a Wednesday night. You know what that tells me? Younger people want it too. I'm trying to build your faith right now. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. I'm trying to build your faith right now, church. There are people in this city. There are people in this region, in this county, that are so hungry for what you've experienced. And it's time for you to quit buying the lie that the devil is selling that nobody wants this deal. If nobody wanted it, he wouldn't waste his time telling you that. I'm telling you, I'm ready for victory in this house. I'm ready to see. I'm ready to see another Lance band come in and get the Holy Ghost. Not in a Sunday night booming service, in a Friday prayer meeting with 4 people in the building. I'm telling you, there are still people that are hungry for God. Amen. So Jesus tells us you got to lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Amen. Quit looking at the drama that's going on around you. Quit looking at the struggles you've got in your own life. He said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for the fields are white already to harvest. There is a harvest in Hot Springs right now while I'm preaching this message. Okay, now, if faith alone don't incentivize you, I'm going to give you a scripture. Can you put up John chapter 4, verse 36? And he that reapeth receiveth wages. God pays soul winners. Well, glory. Amen. This is the untold story of soul winning. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Are your finances in a mess? Quit working 14 hours a day trying to get out of a mess. Not praying. Start praying and go win a soul. He that reapeth receiveth wages. God blesses the soul winners financially. Well, glory. Amen. I'm just trying to preach incentive into your spirit right now. God blesses soul winners financially. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. Now I'm going to give you another one. Do you like this beautiful church that we're in? Isn't it amazing? You know, when Peter was confronted by the Pharisees and the tax collectors, and they said, "Does your master pay taxes?" And Peter's like, "Oh, I don't know." So he goes to Jesus, "Hey, do we pay taxes?" Jesus said, he asked him some real philosophical, theological questions. But then, because they wanted money, he told Peter, he said, "I'll tell you what, take a hook, go cast it in the sea. And the first fish you catch, open up its mouth, there's going to be a piece of money in there. Use that money to pay my taxes and your taxes." Amen. So Peter goes, throws a hook, catches a fish, pulls the money out, pays taxes. And this is the same Peter that Jesus said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Do you think the principle holds true? Amen. That soul winning is a financial boon to the church? It is a benefit. I really figured y'all would be excited about this. Amen. Amen. You know, bills don't pay themselves. Amen. And so the blessing of God comes through people. And I don't believe it's his will that it comes through people outside of the church. I believe he wants to bless the people inside of the church to bless his kingdom. And if you go win souls, you're just widening the pool for God to use. It's a twofold financial benefit to the kingdom of God. It benefits the soul winner, and it benefits the church, the local church, for souls to be won. Amen. It's time for the church to start looking outside the walls. Amen. Okay, I'm on my last scripture. Ushers, do y'all have the stuff, ushers? Can y'all begin to pass those out? Amen. I'm going to preach for a few more minutes, and the ushers are coming to give you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Brother Daniel, if you can put this on the screen. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I want you to say any man. Say any man. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So do not profile who you think you're going to win to the church. Because God makes new stuff when they come into the church. You just go find somebody that's hungry and you win them into the church. And it don't matter if they're broke and homeless. And it don't matter. If they truly want God in their life, you bring them and introduce them to God. It don't matter how low they are economically, how high they are economically. It don't matter what color they are. It don't matter what social status they are. If they're hungry for God, they're welcome in this church. Amen. Amen. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Everybody say, "The ministry of reconciliation." Now, this is one of the greatest oneness scriptures in all the Bible. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Okay, now we use that for oneness a lot, but really, that's not even the context of what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. He says, "I need you to understand that the omnipresent Spirit of God dwelt in the man Christ Jesus. And as it dwelt in the man Christ Jesus walked the earth and found people that had broken relationship with God. And he reconciled them to the Spirit of God. That was what Jesus did while he was on the earth. That is to seek and to save that which is lost. It was the Spirit of God inside the man Christ Jesus. And he is walking around finding, like the woman at the well. She said, why are you even talking to somebody like me? He said, listen, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink of something that you've never experienced before. Amen. He was taking and reconciling people back to God. Then Paul says something very interesting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay. Now, I'm going to read this Old English, and then we're going to break it down. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay. I'm going to read you a literal translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, this is Young's literal translation of the Greek. On behalf of Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as if God were calling through us. As if God were calling through us. What are you saying there, Paul? What he's saying is, just like God manifested himself in flesh and walked around in a state of humility, calling sinners to himself. Paul said, in that exact same way, God is calling, but he's calling through us. You see, after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, Jesus said, I go away, but I'm going to send the Spirit of truth to you. Amen. The Bible would tell us that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so just like God dwelt in the man Christ Jesus, and Jesus walked around to the sinner saying, hey, I've got an answer for your messed up world right now. Paul said, you got to understand that now we, as earthen vessels, have the excellency of the Spirit of God. And now, you hear me, when God wants to call somebody, he's calling them through us. Now, I preached to you about the kingdom of God coming, and I just wonder if a sinner is praying, God, let your kingdom come, if that prayer can even be answered if the church doesn't go. And now God is trying to reconcile people back to himself. And yet the ministry, the service of reconciliation was given to you when God reconciled you back to him. So when you got the gift of the Holy Ghost, you were given a ministry. You were given a service so that the next person God wanted to call, he could call through you. And so this is my wonder tonight. If God is trying to call sinners to be saved in Hot Springs, can he even complete his work without you and without me saying, God, if you're calling them, you're calling them through me. Amen. Amen. God help us right now. In the name of Jesus. We have to understand, and I preached this in the old building, but we have to understand, we are the body of Christ. Amen. If God is going to touch them, it's got to be through you. If God is going to speak to them, most likely it's going to be through you. If God is going to embrace them, most likely it's going to be through you, because you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So I'm trying to shake you right now, and I need you to understand, God has a work to do in this city. God has souls to save in this city. But you have to understand, if they're going to be talked to, if they're going to be touched, if they're going to be won, it's going to be done through you. Amen. I don't want you to mistake my passion for anger. I'm not mad at anybody in this church. Amen. I just feel such a burden and such a passion for souls. Amen. I know I get excited and I scream and I probably look mad, but I promise I'm not mad. Amen. I just want you to understand that God has such a work to be done in this city. Amen. He wants to do a work in this city. He wants to save souls in this city, but he's looking for a vessel that will reconcile somebody to him. God, help us right now. Amen. Why don't we stand together? On behalf of Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as if God were calling through us. We beseech or implore on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He said, I am begging you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. When was the last time that you got emotionally passionate begging somebody, please reconcile to God? And yet the Apostle Paul said, that's what I'm doing. The Apostle Paul was possibly the greatest soul winner in the entire scripture. The Corinthian church alone is believed to have had over 50,000 people in it. Amen. Started by Paul and his associates. And this was how he won souls. He said, I understand. If I can say it like this. I understand that just like the Spirit of God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, the Spirit of God is in me. And if he wants to call somebody, it's probably going to be my voice that they hear. Amen. You know, we sing the song, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. But do we really believe that? Amen. The Bible, when it says that he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, it's a Greek word, diakonia, which means service. Everybody say service. Service to who? To the world. As much as it is your reasonable service to be holy and acceptable to God, it is your service to God to reconcile people back to him. Amen. I wonder today, I thought about what would have happened. What would have happened if when Saul, the great murderer of Christians, saw a vision on the road to Damascus and he smote blind, led to a house, and God appears to Ananias and he says, I need you to go down to this man and show him my words. What if Ananias had said, not today. I'd rather not. He tried to, actually. He said, God, do you really know who this is? Yeah, I know who he is. He's a chosen vessel to me. What happens to Saul if Ananias says no? And I think a more important question is, what happens to Ananias if Ananias says no? When Cornelius is praying and the angel appears to him and says, you go down to that street and you inquire in the house of Simon a tanner for Simon Peter. He'll tell you what to do to be saved. And he sends people. What happens if Peter says no? Well, I'm hungry right now. He was hungry. I'm hungry. I don't think I have time to go down there and whatnot. No. More important question, what happens to Peter if he says no? And so you have people, they were willing to go. You have Peter, the apostle. You have Ananias. You have Paul, who was willing to go. He was willing to be the vessel. Amen. Can you put that slide up there that Pastor sent? Y'all probably saw a pastor posted this. How do people start attending church? Let's start from the bottom. Advertising, 2%. One out of every 50 people that come to church come because of an advertisement. Okay? 6%, the pastor invited them. Amen. One out of every 18 to 20 people come to church because of what the pastor did. Okay? Organized visitation, that's outreach. One out of every 18 to 20 people in the church come because of organized outreach. 86%, or 4.25 out of every 5 people come to church because they were invited by a friend. So I'm going to ask you a really simple soul-winning question. Do you have any friends? Do you have any friends without the Holy Ghost? Four out of 5 people that come to church come because a friend invited them. Amen. And I'll just tell you, I feel like that God has positioned us, this church. You know, everybody in this city has seen this building. Y'all know that, right? Have y'all talked to people out and about this building? Have y'all asked them? Everybody has seen this building. You say, yeah, we're the church out on 70. Oh, the white one? Yeah, the white one. Had somebody Sunday, Texas Roadhouse, tell me, that is beautiful. So you know what I told them? I said, well, come see the building. That's non-intrusive, right? Just come see the building. It is beautiful. If you think the outside's beautiful, you ought to see the inside. And if you think the walls are pretty, you ought to hear the music and the singing. It's beautiful. And if you think that's beautiful and powerful, you ought to hear the word of God. Oh, it's beautiful. Church, this city knows we're here. And I'll tell you, a lot of them not only know that we're here, they want so bad to look inside this building. They want to see the inside of this place. They want to meet the people that built the only new church in the city in probably 50 years. I feel the Holy Ghost bearing witness in this house right now. And not just that, they see you when you go to the store. Apostolic women are the most beautiful and modest women in the entire world. They see it. They know it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to hide it. You go be proudly holy. They see your beautiful marriage. They see your beautiful family. They see your smile. They want what you have. So don't be intimidated. Every single person in this building, did you get a card? You get a card? Everybody get the card from the usher? Hold up your card. Do you see what it says? It says that you have been set apart for the ministry of reconciliation. Because every single person that God has reconciled has been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we're going to do an ordination service. I want everybody that has a card to come to the front. Amen. Come to the front with your card. Tell your whole family you're an ordained minister after this service. Amen. Amen. Now it's fun and it's funny and it's all good. But I want to tell you in all seriousness, God gave every one of us this ministry. And He will strengthen you to win a soul. He'll strengthen you to go out into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. And so I want you to pray right now. If it's appropriate, reach over and join up with your neighbor. Amen. And I want you to pray that God will use you in the ministry of reconciliation. Come on. Come on, pray fervently. God, use me. Use me. Use me, Lord. Use me to win a soul, God. Come on, it may be your family. It may be a co-worker. It may be a total stranger. But you say, God, use me. Come on, ministers in this church, I want you to go around and pray for people right now. Come on, I want you to lay your hands on people and pray that God would anoint them to do a great work in this city, to do a great work in their family, to do a great work in the office or the workplace, whatever.